Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Yaakov Carmel. Meseches Nedarim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yehuda Koenig in loving memory of Malka and Aaron Zvi Krausman.
We're up to Nedarim, Pei Zayin, Amud Beis, the Mishnah towards the end of the Yomid. The Mishnah says, Yodeya ni sheyesh Nedarim, avol eini yodeya sheyesh mafirim yafir. If a husband says, I knew that my wife made Nedarim, I had a shmir, I heard the neder, but I was not aware of the halacha that a bala is a koyach to be made for. On that we say, yofer. The Ran explains, it means la'achim ekein, even though it's not the yom shmir, he didn't find out that he has a schus and a koyach hafaro till a while later, but still he can be made for. The Ran explains, da'arahu yom alaykarinim be'yom shamoy. You're not called yom shamoy until you know and you're aware that you could be made for. It's not enough to hear the actual neder. It has to be that you heard the neder and you knew that you could do something about it. That's called Yom Shamay, and that we say that if you did not do Hafar on that day, so a Shlika is Ka'akama. But in a case when you didn't have a Shmiya at all, so all the dinim of Yom Shmiya don't apply, and therefore you can be made for at a later date. But from the Lashon of the Ran is Mavur, that if it would be called a Yediya, then you would lose Yischus Hafar, because Yischus Hafar is only on the Yom Shamay. The whole issue throughout the Mishnah, the Ran keeps saying, the issue is this called Yom Shmiya? Is this called Yom Shamay? The Ran's lashon is, da anahu yoyma lekarina be Yom Shamay. Since you weren't aware that you had a kayach to be mefer, there's such a thing as Afara, therefore it's not called Yom Shamay. But it's mevor that if it would be called Yom Shamay, you wouldn't be able to be mefer. He says it's also in the Sefer. In the Sefer of our Mishnah, we say, if the husband says, yodei ani sheyesh mefirim, I knew there's such a thing as Afara. I was not aware that this is the type of neder that I can be mefer. We have a machlokes if you can be mefer. And the Ran is mayor with two pshatim. We'll see soon. One thing is clear throughout the entire Ran, however, and that is that the issue between Racham and Remeir is this called the idea? Is knowing that there is such a thing as Afara, but you weren't aware that this neder is something you could be made for, is that called the idea to be called Yom Shamay, to have the rule that if you didn't make the Afar in Yom Shamay, you lost that schus. But the Vur, throughout all the Rans, that there would be no problem with the fact that you weren't aware that you could be made for. That's not the issue of our Mishnah. The issue of our Mishnah is it called Yom Shamay when you didn't know the halachas? But let's say it would be called Yom Shamay. This alone, that you didn't know that you could be made for, or you didn't know this was a neder you could be made for, that alone would not be enough for us to say you don't have Shtika Ka'akama. It's only because it's not called Yom Shamay, therefore you don't have the din of Shtika Ka'akama. So this is a riot to the famous Chakira. Now, if you can Yam is Mayach about this, and there are runs with Mashmayis and Mikan Lakan throughout the whole Parak Naim Rasa, this run of Al Mishnah is very clear. Now, Chayim speak it out, that he holds that the din of shtika is you lose your zman of hafara. There's always a chakira, is pshat in shtika, that it blibes a hakama, because if you wanted to make a hafara, you would have made one. From the fact that we see that you didn't make a hafara, that tells us that you want this neder to be hukum. That's the yisoid of shtika hakama. It's like an anansa hadi, that you want a hakama. Or is it just a time span that we give you to be made for? You only can be made for within the Yom Shmir. After that, you lose your Zchus Hafara. But nothing to do with him having an answer. Hadis Hakama, he knows nothing about Hakama. All we know is that if you left a certain time span, you lose your Zchus Hafara. From our Ran, who keeps saying that it's not called Yom Shammai, it's Mavur that if it would be called Yom Shammai, even though in our Mishnah you won't have a Shtika being Hakama based on an answer Hadi that he wanted Hakama, the person didn't even know that he was able to be made for. In the Reishi, didn't know this is a thing as Afara, and in the Sefer, he didn't know that this is the type of neder that he could be made for. So how can we say that from the fact that Shaisik shows us that he wants Hakama? He was Shaisik because he didn't know there was anything he could do. But the Ran still says that the only reason that it's not a din that you lose your Schus Hafara is all because it's not a Yom Shamay. So you see from this Ran that he holds that you're losing the Schus Hafara. It's not based on the rule that the Shtik is Hakama based on an Anzahati. However, the Rosh and the Ayin Tes, and the Birmas Kol Yofer, he explains our Mishnah on the other side. He says the reason why in our Mishnah you can be made for, even at a later date, is because his exact Lashon is, Shtikasoi Le'avakim, Kivin Le'yodash V'yadal HaHofer. since you didn't know they were able to be mefer, so your shtika is not going to produce a kiyum. Therefore, you can be mefer even at a later date. That means the point of our mission is not that it's not called Yom Shammai. Let it be called Yom Shammai. The whole din of Yom Shammai is that because you were shayzikin on Yom Shammai is a raya that you want to hakama on that Rosh says in our Mishnah that he didn't know that he could be mefer. He didn't know such a thing as hafar at all. Therefore, you're not going to have the svara of shtika kakama, and therefore you can be mefer even at a later date. Now, this deek that we're making in the Ran, and we're saying that the Rosh on the Ayin Tes argues, this works out beautifully with the Machlokes Ran and Rosh on the Samach Tes. So there, the Gemara has the Shiloh, if you could be Shiloh on a Hekam. Just like you could be Shiloh on every Neder, so Hakama is strengthening a Neder, therefore it's like a Neder, and you could be Shiloh on the Hekam. The Ran points out that even if you could be Shiloh on a Hekam, what's the obvious Navkamina if you could be Shiloh on a Hekam? The point is now that you could go and be Mefer. The Ran says that even if you're shoyel on the Hekim, it has to be that you were shoyel on the Hekim all on the same day that you made the Neder. Because if not, then how could you be made for now? It's not Yom Shammai anymore. The Rosh does not make that point. The Rosh never says in the Samach Tez that the shoyel on the Hekim has to be dafka on that day. He learns that even if you're shoyel a week later on the Hakama, so it turns out the Neder is back at full strength, so right now you can be made for. So what's the Machlaikis? What's the Machlaikis if we're going to say that in the case of Yerushalayim and a Hekim, if the Hafara is able to be done on a later date or not? So Machlokes is this Chakira. If you learn that the point of Shtika is that by me being Shaisik is a Nansahadi that I want a Hakama, so obviously in this case, you couldn't be Mefer. You made a Hakama 3:30 in the afternoon. The rest of the day, you weren't able to be Mefer. How could we say from the fact that you weren't Mefer the rest of the afternoon is a raya that you wanted hakama? That's not true. The reason I wasn't made for the rest of the day is because I wasn't able to be made for. So you don't have any raya from the shtika of the rest of the day showing us that he wanted hakama. So the Rosh says, since there's no raya from his shtika that he wants a hakama, therefore if you're going to be shoyel on the hekim, so it turns out there was no hekim. That hekim that we thought was a hakama is not a hakama, but the shtika for the rest of the day is worthless. It doesn't tell us anything. So you can be made for a week later. However, if you learn like the Ran over here, that when Medayik that he holds that it's a time span for his Chus Hafara, his Chus Hafara is only on the day of the Shmiyah. So in this case, you had the Shmiyah at 2 o'clock, and you made Hakama at 3 o'clock. Lamaisa, the day passed by, and you weren't made for. So you lost your Chus Hafara. So even if you're Shail on the Hekim, and it turns out it's like you never made the Hekim, but how can we say that you didn't lose your Chus Hafara? The time span is finished, you lose your Chus Hafara. So the Ran and Rosh would be beautiful. You can actually say the machleik is in a different nusach with the same idea, and that is that if you would hold that shtika kakama means that from the fact that you were shaysik is a raya and anan sahadi that you wanted hakama, then you should be able to be shayil on the shtika kakama also. So just like giving shayil on the hakama, the actual hakama of hukamach, you should also be able to be shayil on the shtika kakama. So why can't it be made for now? If the whole point of the shtik is to make hakama and you're being shoyel, you should be able to be made for now. So what's stopping you from being made for a week later? If the Ran is saying you have to be made for today, obviously he's understanding that the point of shtik hakama is not really a hakama, rather it's just losing your schuz hafara. Now on a side note, it's important to point out that even though it fits beautifully, the Rosh and the Ran, it doesn't have to be muchav what we're saying. It doesn't have to be that any Rishon that holds on the Samach Tes that you have to, that you're able to make the Hafara at a later date, that he has to hold that you're not losing his Chus Hafara. We're saying the Rosh on the Ayin Tes, who clearly holds that Shtika Ka'akama means an Anatzahadi of Akama, not losing his Chus Hafara. So that's why he said on Samach Tes that you can be made for at a later date. The Torah and the Rambam, most places can say you can be made for at a later date. We don't want to have to say necessarily that all these Rishonim hold that the whole point of Shtika Ka'akama is an Anan Sahadi and it's not that you're losing your Chus Hafara. Now, we could get out of this. We could say, and the Stipler, Kilis Yaakov, Simen Lamates, says this to explain the Machalikis Torah and Ran, if you could be made for a later date. He says you can learn both of these Rishonim hold that all you're doing with Shtika Ka'akama is losing your Chus Hafara. If you lose your Chus Hafara, so then the Ran's right. The Ran says if you lose your Chus Hafara when the Yom Shammai is over, so even if you're shoyel on the Hekim, you better make sure to be mefer when it's still that Yom Shammai, because if the Yom Shammai is over, you lose your Zechus Hafara. So how could the Torah say you can be made for at a later date if the point of Yom Shammai is to lose your Zechus Hafara? On that, the disciple says, in the Yom Shammai, we can understand it two ways. We can understand that the day you make the neder is the Yom Shammai. And if you are quiet that day, if you don't make any hafara on the day of the Shmias HaNeder, you lose your Zechus Hafara. We could also understand that the point of the Yom Shammai is really the last second of the day. The fact that you could have been made for at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock didn't really play a role. The whole point is that the last second of the day you still didn't make a hafara. Now we have a substantiated shtika. Now we say you lose your hafara. But anything that happened earlier in the day is not going to be called a shtika ka'akam. It's all because you didn't make a hafara the whole day. Now you lost your zechus hafara. So it's all happening at the last second. And if at the last second of the day you already made a hakama, so that means at the last second of the day, it was a time that wasn't really called a Yom Shammai of Hafara. You weren't able to make Hafara. So even if it's a time span, but it's a time span is that you could only make Hafara if you didn't pass over the Yom Shmiya that you were able to make Hafara. If you didn't make Hafara in the Yom Shmiya that you were able to make Hafara, then you lose your Zechus Hafara. And if the time that we're going to look at, be called the Yom Shmiya, the Yom Shammai of this of ability to make Hafara, is the last second. That's the time that the time span is over. And if at that time you couldn't make Hafara, we can understand that you're not going to lose your Zechus Hafara because you never passed over the Yom Shammai that you were able to make Hafara. Taisva says, Yom Shammai was Monday. I made the Neder at 2 o'clock. I heard it. I was able to be Mefer, and I wasn't Mefer. Enoch Nami an hour later made Hakama. Enoch Nami 5 hours later, I wasn't able to be Mefer. At the end of the day, you had a Yom Shammai, you heard a neder, you weren't made for, you lose your Zechus Hafara. The Torah will hold that the lumness of shtika is you're losing your Zechus Hafara. But you have to have the ability to be made for at the time that we want to make the chalois of losing your Zechus Hafara. And if at that time, the end of the day, you weren't able to be made for, that's not called the Yom Shammai that you were able to be made for. So even though we're saying that it's preferred to rush on the fine test, that the point of shtika is an atzahadi of Hakama. And it's beautiful to say that according to those Rishayim that hold that shtika is an anzahadi, that there's Hakama going on, then obviously you can be made for at a later date. But even, the disciple is saying, even if you hold that you're losing a Zechus Hafara and that there's no anzahadi that's Hakama, all it is a time span of being able to be made for, and you lose that Zechus Hafara after Yom Shammai, we can still have a machlokes if it's considered Yom Shammai if you weren't able to be made for at the last second of the day. Now, continuing on with the Mishnah, in the Sefer of the Mishnah, we have a case when the husband says, Yodei ani sheyesh mefirim, I know there's a parash of hafara, aval eini yodei shezeh neder, I didn't know, I was not aware that this neder was included in the nedarim that I can be made for. For example, he didn't know that this is considered beinoi lebeinah. On that, we have a machlekes for mei reimer lo yefer, v'chamayim yafir, and the Ran has two pshatim to explain the machlekes. The first pshat is that according to the mayor, you could never be made for, and according to the Chama, you can be made for tomorrow. According to the second pshat, according to the mayor, you could only be made for today, not tomorrow, because it is Yediyah B'miksas, so you could be made for today. V'chamayim, you could be made for tomorrow, because Yediyah B'miksas is not a Yediyah, so it's not considered Yom Shammai, so you can be made for tomorrow also. Now, the point that needs beer is the Ran's first pshat according to the mayor. We're saying that according to the mayor, you can't be made for today and you can't be made for tomorrow. That needs Havana. If we're saying you can't be made from the first day, that means we're saying that when you heard a nether and you know that you're able to be made for certain nedarim and you weren't sure if this nether is included in those nedarim, so on that first day, the mayor holds that you can't be made for it. There's not enough yediyah for you to be made for. Now what happens the next day, when you find out that this nether is included in the nedarim that you could be made for? We should say, if yesterday wasn't considered the Yom Shmiya, then today should be the Yom Shmiya, and you should have an ability to be made for. On that, the Ran says, an interesting level, and a madrega, that we really didn't have throughout this parak. And that is, you could have a level that it's not enough Shmiya to be made for yesterday. The fact that you heard the nether, and you were aware that she made a nether, and you knew that you could be made for a certain nedarim, but if you were not aware that this nether is included in the nedarim that you could be made for, that's not enough shmiya and yediyah to be made for yesterday, but it is enough that you lose your zechus hafara today. Then it's beer. If it's yediyah, if this is enough to be called the yediyah, so there was a shmiya yesterday, so why couldn't you be made for yesterday? And if it's not enough for yesterday, why is it enough to lose your zechus hafara today? So l'chayr the beer is pasha. You need both things to be called a yediyah. So, which means, you need to hear the neder, and you have to be aware that you can be made for this neder. both things together is called a Yediya Gemura, and therefore we have a Yom Shamayim. If you have either one without the other, that's not a Yom Shmir. So on the first day that you heard the Neder, but you didn't have the idea that you could be made for this Neder, so that's not enough. You're missing one of the Tanaim. One of the Tanaim that you need to be called Yom Shamay is the awareness that you could be made for. So it's not Yom Shamay. But you can't tell me that the next day when you find out that you could be made for, you can't tell me that's called Yom Shamay. Because Ein Echanami, today you have the idea that you could be made for, but you don't have the Shmir. And we said you need two things to be called Yom Shmir. You need the Shmias HaNeder and the idea that you can be made for the Neder. So on the first day, you had the Shmias HaNeder without the idea that you can be made for. And the next day, you have the idea that you can be made for without the Shmias HaNeder. So either one is not going to be called, Yom Shamayim, and therefore you can't be made for on either day. That will be the Havana in the Ran. Now we'll move along to the Mishnah on the Peches Siman Aleph. The Mishnah is dealing with a case of a person that was madir his son-in-law, that his son-in-law cannot have any anah from him. And now he wants to give a present to his daughter. The problem is, anything he gives to his daughter, we know the klal, kol ma shekonsa isha kona baila, so anything he gives to the daughter automatically will become the property, at least for the peiros of the chefetz, will go to the baal. So it turns out he's giving anah to his son-in-law, which he asserted. So how could you go and give a present to your daughter in a way that your son-in-law will not benefit from this chayfetz? So the Mishnah gives a case that you have to make it tanai. You have to say, "I'm giving you a present." Ubulvat shelo yehi labaleich roshusbahem ela mashat noisus v'neisanus beficha. You make a specific tanai. We'll deal with the exact details later on in this year. But by making this tanai, you'll get around his chus peiros. He will not have his chus peiros, and that would be a oifen heter for a father to give his daughter a present in a case that the son-in-law cannot have benefit from him. The Shaila is, the Rajba holds, that a person can never be Zeicha in a Suriyana. If I try to sell you a Sharaniskol, or I try to sell you other things that are Asabana, you do not have a Kayak to make a Kinyan on it. So the Machan Ephraim asks, according to the Rajba, that you can never make Kinyanim and Tzchias in a Suriyana. What's the problem in our Mishnah? You should go and give a present to your daughter. Aye, the husband has chusim, and all the nichsim elug, all her nechusim, he automatically has chus peiros. That's not true. You're not zeich in a suriyana, and since to you this is aser, so you don't have a kayach to make a kinyan here, so you're not going to be zeich in this chayfetz. So why did the Mishnah need this eitza of making a tanaya menashe ein lebailuch reshus behen? Just give it to your daughter, and the husband automatically will be out of the picture because it's aser ba'ana. Now the nesivas in Simin Ayin Reish Hei, brings down this Machan Ephraim's kasha on the Rajba. And the Siva says, a very short one-line answer, and it's not clear exactly what he means. The words on the Siva are that it blibes like Mochre La'acher. This is not considered being Zeich in Assyria No, because it's not really Asa Ba'ana. Because there's only Asa for you to have Ana from the father-in-law. And over here you're being Zeich from your wife. So you're not being Zeich from the father-in-law. It's similar to the Sugi of Mochre La'acher we know, that if Reuven says, Shimon can't have enough from me, and then Reuven gives a chayfetz to Levi, and Levi gives it to Shimon, so it's mutter for Shimon to be nana, because we don't consider it that Shimon's being nana from Reuven, rather Shimon's being nana from Levi, and we don't care about the origins of the chayfetz that it came from Reuven, so it's mutter. So to over here, since you're being zeicha from your wife, we don't care if it started from your father-in-law, and therefore, you could be zeich in it. The kasha was, how can you be zeich in a Syria? No. The answer is, it's not asa ba'ana. There's no problem with you being nana from this chayfetz. That's the answer of the nesivos. Now, this is Mamash Apella, the stipler, the Simlam Beis, Ois Hei, asked the obvious question. What's the whole point of the whole Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Hamadra nami chasnai, vuroitse lotzeis lebitai. The Mishnah says there's an issue, and the only way to get out of the issue is by making the entire Tanai like the Mishnah speaks out. But obviously there's a problem. It's usher for a son-in-law to be nana from his wife who got money from her father. Obviously it's usher. If it would be considered like Machri La'achar and it wouldn't be usher, then there would be no problem. There would be no point about the whole Mishnah. So clearly in our Mishnah you see that there is a problem isser or no. And still, it's Mochach that he would be Zaycha. So how could the Nesiva say that our Mishnah is a case of Machri La'achar if it's evident from the whole point of the Mishnah that it is not considered Machri La'achar? Now, to answer what the Nesivus means, the stipler says, the Mitzad HaTchak, he's going to have to say, a big Chiddush, that Ansivus holds that you could differentiate between being Mahana somebody and being Zeicher from Isur Ve'ano. That means all the Nesivus is saying is that when we're dealing with the issue, are you being Zeicher with Isur Ve'ano? And that we say, you're not being Zeicher in Isur Ve'ano. Because since you're coming to be Zeicher from your wife, and your wife got it from her father, that's considered Machir La'achir. We do not have the problem of being Zeicher in Isur Ve'ano. Even according to the Rashba, that you cannot make a Kinyan and a Zeicher in Isur Ve'ano, over here you can make a Kinyan. So what was the Mishnah's problem? On that, the Nesivus will tell you that it's also for you to go and give somebody money in a way that's going to be Mahana, someone that's also and Mudah enough from you. Since by you giving your daughter the money, you're being Mahana your son-in-law, because he's being Zeicher in this thing, that alone is enough to be called Aser Mitzah Nedarim. You're not allowed to be Mahana someone that's Mudah enough from you. He's not allowed to have enough from you, and he's having enough directly from you. So you can differentiate being Zeicher in Isur Ve'ano, he's not being Zeicher in Isur Ve'ano. Because since you gave it to your daughter and he's only getting it from the daughter, that's not called being Zeicher in Isur Ve'ano. He's being Zeicher in something that is mutter and enough for him. The Chepetz is mutter for him to be Nana from, because he's getting it from the daughter. But the person that gave it is being Mahana and son-in-law. By you giving it to somebody that and automatically goes to the mother's Rishus, that's called a Maisa of being Mahana him. Enechanami, the Chepetz is a Machir La'acher, so he could be Zeich in it, but the Maisa was a Maisa of being Mahana, someone that's not going to have enough from you. And that's Aser. So the Mishnah needs a Tanai, even though he's able to be Zeich in the Chepetz, but you're still not allowed to give your daughter this Chepetz because you're being Mahana, your son-in-law. That's how the disciple explains in the Sivas. Now it's a big deichik in the Lashon in the Sivas, but there seems to be no other pshat how in the Sivas will learn our Mishnah. Now before we go to the stipler's other teretz for the Machner Fayim's Kasha, we just have to point out that the entire Nesivas that's explaining that when you give a present to your daughter, the son-in-law who's being zeicher from his wife is considered like being zeicher from a Machir La'acher, that's totally in the old Chakira, famous Chakira. The Chiezer is ma'ach about this, the Mekar Baruch is ma'ach about it, and that is, every time you have the klal of Komasha Kansa Isha Kana Baila, is pshat that it goes to her first, and then the husband gets it, or Yad Isha Yad Baila is so strong that it's considered that it went straight to him. One could hear that, just like by an Eved, we know, by Mestaver, that you are the Bailam on him, and anything Kizecha, you're getting immediately. It's like if your hand would pick it up, your whole goof gets it, so too, if your Eved picks it up, you'll get it. Even over there, it might be a Shiloh, but it's very understandable to say that you're immediately getting it, because he's an extension of your Yad. So maybe by Isha will say that also, that Isha is an extension. Yad Isha Kad Baila tells us that she's an extension of the Baila, and anything she picks up is like he picked it up, and he's immediately getting it. The Nesiva is that saying that there's no problem over here of being Zeicha and Isur Ve'ano, because it's considered Machir La'achir, is clearly learning that it's a two-step process. First, it goes to her, and he's only getting it from her. The Machaner Fry that asked the Kasha of the Rajba and didn't like those teretz, he'll say that this is not considered Machir La'achir, because immediately you're getting it from the person that's giving it, because a Isha is a Yad of the Baal, and that's considered immediate, and that's not considered Machir La'achir, and therefore it's Aser. Now, returning to the Machaner Fry's Kasha in the Rajba, the original kasha that the Nesivus was coming to deal with, the kasha was that according to the Rajba, that a person can't be Zeicher in Isur Ve'ano, so how are you going to learn our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, it's clear that the husband would be Zeicher in this chepetz from his wife, even though someone was madir him hana from it. So you see, you could be Zeicher in Isur Ve'ano. So the stipler says, you can say a very simple svara. The whole din of the Rajba, that you can't be Zeicher in Isur Ve'ano, is you don't have a koyach to make a Maisa Kinyan on something that's Enei B'Rishusai. We know you can't be Magdish Davash Enei B'Rishusai, can't sell Davash Enei B'Rishusai. So when something's Asaba, no, it's considered Enei B'Rishusai. It's not under your jurisdiction, so you can't make Maisa Kinyanims in such a thing. But Lamash, let's say you want to be Yerushit. Are we going to say you can't Yarshin something that's Enei B'Rishusai? On that we don't find such a din. And the beer is, because you're not making a Maisa. You're not trying to make a Kinyan happen. Rather, someone dies, so all his nechassim go to his yarshim. So you are yarshim chayfetz. Why shouldn't you be yarshim chayfetz? Everyone knows if you have a case of an aveda or something was stolen from somebody, so it's enei b'rishusai. So the bialim can't be magdishit, he can't sell it. But if he dies, his kid's going to yarshim it. It's enei b'rishusai. So it's not a kasha. Any mishuzah says you can't make kinyanim happen. But something that happens in Mela, why shouldn't it happen? Automatically, the halach is if someone dies, his yarshin take over ownership. So why should you need b'shusay for a kinyan to be Mela? That's obvious. The question is, how do you view the kinyan that a baal has in his isha of nichsei melug? So the disciple says, there's no maisa kinyan. There's a din, derabbanan, that anything an isha brings into a marriage, the husband has a schus in it. So it's an automatic kinyan. Anything she makes a kinyan on, he automatically, memela, has a schus in. So we don't need him to go and make a maisa kinyan. So a chanami, a person can make kinyan and mechira hegdish in dvarim that are asabah no, because they're in a b'shusay, but on kinyan and memela, whoever said you can't make it, so just like you could have Yerusha, you could have a din of al mishnah, that a baal, v'nichsei ishtoi, where the schiyah is a schiyah de b'meila, and you don't need a ma'is akinyan, so even if it's asa ba'na, the Rashi would say you could be zaycha. The stipler is terrorist to the Machan Afayim's kasha. Now we'll continue on with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the way for the father to make the Tanai is, he should say the following two things. I'm giving you this present, Amanas, Bilvad Shlo Yehei Labalech Roshusbehen. The first Tanai he makes is, that your husband has no reshus in these chayfets. I'm only giving it to you, like b'tenai that your husband has no schus, and also mashat noises v'noisenes b'ficha. You're only getting it for what you put in your mouth. So the Ran explains, based on the Gemara is going to say we're going according to the mayor that holds kol mashat kon isha kon abayla is so strong that you do not have a power to give her something. Oh, that will not go to the schus of the baal. Just saying a tenai will not work because it's automatic. Automatically, anything she's kaina, the baal gets. Tenai alone won't work. So you have to add on to the tenai. Why does it help to add on to the tenai? So Rana has two pshatim. The first pshat is when you say mashaat noises v'nesenes b'ficha, what you're doing is you're saying it's not really yours. It's only yours when you put it in your mouth. So only when you eat it, then you're zeichin it. Now there's no more payers for that chayfetz. The baal is only zeicha in the peiros of the chayfet you got. So if you got karka, he's entitled to take the karka, grow the peiros, and he'll use the peiros. But if the thing that you got is while you're eating it, so it doesn't have any peiros, so there's nothing for him to be zeicha in. So it's a trick. It's an eitzah to circumvent the problem. The problem was that anything that she's zeicha in, he's automatically zeicha in. On that we have an eitzah. Only give it to her while she's eating it. If she's only getting it while she's eating it, then he's not going to be able to get the peiros of that chayfet. That's the first round around. And the second shot on the Ran is that it's more of a lumdership shot. That he gave it to her for a specific bialus. That means she could only do a specific thing. And Huadin, if he would say it's only yours, they could use this thing to wear it. Let's say he gave her a bega, it's only yours to wear. So according to the first shot, the second she wears it, it becomes hers. Now the husband is zeich in it. So that would be awesome. The second shot holds, if your whole bialus that you have is only for a specific job, so it's not really a bialus. When do we say the husband gets payers? When a isha is zeichin something, she finds him tzio, someone gives her a present, it's totally hers. So now the halacha is, the baal is zeichin the payers of her chafetzim. But let's say she's never really zeichin it. She only owns a bialus to use it for a certain thing. Lamoshul, she cannot sell this sweater. And she cannot use it as a cover to go to sleep. All she could do is use it to wear. So if you only have a kinyan with a limited use, so you don't have a full bialus, on that, the Rabbanu would never misakin that the baal should have a schus in your chavetzim. It's not really yours. It's just yours for a schus. If it's only yours for a schus, the baal will not get the payers of such a thing. Those are the two pshatim in the Ran. Now the question is, the Lashon HaRan is, Dafka de Omar lo hani trei lishni. It only works if you use both of these lashonis. You have to say, and you have to say, now it's understandable that it's not enough to say, like the Ran speaks out, because you're going according to the mayor, that the schus of the baal is so strong that just saying, I'm giving it to you, I'm anas, that the baal is no shus, is not going to work. But why wouldn't it be enough to say, the Ran has two svaras, either it's only yours while you eat it, or it's only yours for eating, yours for a specific use. So if you just say that lashon, that's minimizing and being magdir the nesina, that it's not a full nesina, that alone should make that the baal has no schus, and that should be an eitzah to get out of the problem that he's magdir enough from his chasnai. Why do you need to say the first lashon of bovat shelo yehei lebaleich v'shus behen? Now, actually, in Simar Reish Chav Beis, the Prisha says he's a mesupik if you actually need to do it. The Shach argues, and the Shach says you for sure need to do it. The Taz also says you need to do it. The Pesachet Shuvah over there in Siman Reish Chabez, he beats Medai from the Ran and Kedushin that you don't need to do it. And it's Lav Davka, the Mishnah. And the entire point of the Mishnah, the Pesachet Shuvah speaks out, is that even though you said, you still need to say, since we're going according to Rameir. But if you just say the Sefer, that would also be enough. Now it's Shver, like we went back before, the Ran Bayah says pretty clearly, V'davka da'amalei hani trei lishni. Sounds pretty clear that it's not enough to say just a second Lashon. It's hard to understand exactly why the first Lashon is necessary, but the Ran Bayah and the Shach and the Taz all hold that you need both Lashonis, and that would seem to be indicating that just saying Mashat Noises V'nesenes B'ficha alone is not going to dictate to us that the Baal has no schus. The Baal's schus is very strong. And just like we say that when you say, I don't want the Baal to have a schus, it doesn't work by itself according to the Meir, because the Baal has an automatic schus. So too, when you say, I'm only giving it to you, Mashat Noises V'nesenes B'ficha, so even though you're being Magdir V'nesina, so she doesn't really have it, so the Baal's schus shouldn't kick in, but seemingly these paiskim hold that the Baal's chus is so strong that it will even work in this case. It's only when you say specifically that I'm giving it to you that the Baal shouldn't have it. Now usually the Baal's chus overrides what you said. But if I give it in a way where it makes sense that the Baal shouldn't have a chus, then when I say the Baal shouldn't have a chus, it works. But this alone, that I'm saying Mashat Naisis when I send us Beficho, alone won't work. It needs more beer, Sarach in. Now just one last thing on this Mishnah. When you read the Mishnah, Kipshutai, we're learning that the husband can't use it. The whole issue was, the Lashon HaMishnah was, who writes a Lases Labitei Mais, he wants to give a present to his daughter, and he's not able to because the son-in-law automatically has a schuz, so the Mishnah is giving us an Eitzah to circumvent the problem, to give her a present that he won't have a schuz. But let's say she wants to give this mominess to her husband, the chazir shouldn't be allowed to, because the father only gave it to her. So let's go with the first child in the Ran. It's only yours when you use it the way I said, and that is that you eat it. Only then you get a schus in it. So if she takes it and gives it to her husband, so she's a ganif. The father gave her a present with a certain stipulation. She has to use it in a certain way. If she gives it to her husband, she should be over on the Isser of Gazel. Now the Mefarish on our Mishnah says that Huadin, the husband, could take it from the wife. Since the wife was Zeichene, now the husband could take it from her. Only if he gives it Stam, then we have an issue that the father is being Mahana, the son-in-law, because you're giving a present to your daughter, and automatically the son has his Chus Peiris. But if you give it in this way, that the son does not have his Chus Peiris, so it's not considered that the father-in-law is being Mahana, the daughter-in-law. Rather, he's being Mahana, his daughter, and his daughter is giving it to the husband. So question is, that's all good, that's all fine and dandy when it comes to the Isser of Hana. So the son is not called being Nene from the father-in-law. I understand that. Because he does not have his Chus Peiros in such a case. The problem is, how is she allowed to go and be over on the stipulations that her father made? So the Shita brings his Kasha from the Re'im on the Mefarish. And the Shita says that we have an Umdana that she knows that he wasn't really Makbid. He didn't really care if the son-in-law gets it or not. He wanted to give money to his daughter. Didn't really care if the daughter does with it. She wants to give it to her husband, no problem. He just had to do the Tanai of the Mishnah, because if he's not going to do the Tanai, then it's going to be considered that he's being Mahana's son-in-law, which is Asur, therefore he made the Tanai. But we know, she knows, that he never meant that the son-in-law shouldn't get it, so it's not really a Gzela. So the Avnei Meluim, in Siman Pei Hei, I'll ask the obvious question. If we're going to consider this as a kinyan to her, that she could do whatever she wants, then you lost the whole point of the Mishnah. The whole point of the Mishnah was that since the father's only giving it to her, and she's only zeichen it when she eats it, or he's only giving it to her legabe achila, therefore you don't have the parasha of Peres, therefore the father is not being mahana his son-in-law. The problem is, we're saying now the daughter could do whatever she wants, because we have an umdana, she knows the father never meant that she's limited to these things. So if we're saying halachically, there's no gezel, and she can do whatever she wants, that means she has a full kinyan. If she has a full kinyan, the Baal has chus peiros. So you lost the whole point of the Mishnah. The whole point of the Mishnah is that she doesn't have a full kinyan, and therefore the Baal does not have his chus peiros. But now you're saying, according to the Mefarish, that she could do whatever she wants. There's an umdina that he lets her do whatever she wants. That means she has a full kinyan. So the Baal should have a schus here. And if he has a schus peiris, it's also ba'ana. This is the Amlum's kasha and sim pei. Hey, the Amlum says, a beautiful chat. There's a sugi in ksubas that there's no din peiris to the Baal on anything, on any nechostim that are not yidul the Baal. If he doesn't know that she has them. If he doesn't know that she has it, so when he married her, he didn't go in with this das to get these chafetzim, so therefore he's not going to be zayich in Paris. And who did if she's zayich in something after marriage in a way that he doesn't know about it? The Gemara in Ksubas gives a case of Mavreches, that it looks like she's being Mavriach and she's sending away her nechasim, but really she was keeping it. But since he didn't know about it, so he wasn't aware that she had it, so he does not have his chus Paris. So Amlum says that this Mishnah is a tremendous trick. Really, in reality, the Mefarish is saying that she's getting full schus to do whatever she wants. But since it looks like she's only getting a schus to mashat, naisenes, finisenes, beficha, so all she got is a schus to eat it, or a schus when she eats it, then she gets it. So it looks to the naked eye that he doesn't have pears. Because he doesn't have pears in these type of cases. So since kipshutai, from Rita, it looks to us that he's not Zeichen Peres, therefore it's considered under the guidelines, under the banner of Nechasim She'en Yidun Labal, and therefore Itaka doesn't get Peres. Anything that doesn't look like he should get Peres, he doesn't get Peres. So he has no Schus in his Chayfetz, even though in actuality, based on the Umdina, she has a full Kinyan, and she can do whatever she wants. But she has a full Kinyan, and she can do whatever she wants in a way that he doesn't get Peres. Because he only gets Peres if he thinks he gets Peres. If he thinks he doesn't get Peres, then he doesn't get Peres. So we have a situation now, Mishnah, a tremendous situation. There's a eitzah for a father to give his daughter a present that she can do whatever she wants. And she's zeicher right away. But since it looks, from Riata, kifi the lashon that he said, it looks like she doesn't have a full bailus, therefore the Baal will not have a schus peiros, and therefore it's mutter. This is the teretz of the Avnei Meluim in Siman Pehe.
Now, continuing on with the Gemara, the Gemara says, a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, if we pass him like Rameir or the Rabbanim. The Machlokes Rameir and the Rabbanon is how strong is the halacha of Yad Ishi Ked Baila. Everyone agrees that the Baal is Zeicha and the Maisi Yadayim and the Metziah of his Isha, but do we say it to such a degree that she cannot receive a Matana Amanas that her Baal has no Rishus? That means Rameir holds Yad Ishi Ked Baila to such a degree that automatically any Matana that she gets, the Baal automatically gets, and does not help to make it tonight that he shouldn't get it. And the Rabbanon agree, obviously, that to some extent, the Baal has Baalus over the Isha, the Isha's Yad, but it still would help a tonight that if someone gives the Isha a Matana, a Manash, in the Baaluch, Rishus Bahem, it would work the tonight and the Baal would not be Zeicha. Now the Rajbin Kedushin of Gimel and Beis asked the obvious question. How could your mayor say that Yad Isha Kiyad Baila is so strong that even if you give a matana to the Isha, I'll deny that the Baal should not be zeich in it, still we're going to say that the Baal's Baila is so strong that he gets it even though there's a tanai. So Rajba asks, but I only gave the matana on the condition that the Baal is not zeich. So Enechanami, your mayor could hold that the Baal's chus is so strong that it overrides her Baila and it overrides the tanai. But if it's overriding the Tanai, that means you weren't Mekayim the Tanai. And therefore, the whole Matana shouldn't work. Because the person only gave a Matana to this Isha on the condition, he stipulated, that he's only giving it to her if her husband's not Zaycha. So if her mayor holds Yad Isha Kiyad Baalus is so strong that the Baal is automatically Zaycha, so you weren't Mekayim the Tanai, so there's no Matana at all. So how could the Halacha be at the end of the day that the Baal is Zaycha in it? He's only Zaycha in it if there was a matana, and there's only a matana if he's not zeichin it. The second that he's zeichin it, there's no matana. So the Rashba says, b'shem the Ramban, that this tanai is viewed as if you mas the maskos b'teira. Just like we know, if you mas the maskos b'teira, since you're saying a tanai, that can't be mekoyim, so it doesn't work. A tanai has to be possible. If a tanai is not possible, it's like you maflig ba'alma, it's like an exaggeration. If there's no way to be Mekayim at Tanai, the Tanai has no worth. So here also, when you're giving a Matana to an Isha, and you're saying, I'm only giving it to you, I'm a nasty, your husband doesn't have a Rishus. So according to her mayor, that's an impossible condition. There's no way she could be zeicha in something without her husband automatically being zeicha. Because Yad Ishak Yad Vayel is so strong that even when you give her a present al tanai that he shouldn't get it, he still gets it. So this is an impossible tanai. If it's impossible, then the halach is the tanai is worthless. It's not a good tanai. So just like when you make a tanai, a masna malshkas batayro, or any tanai without the mishpate tanayim, the marshal, you don't make a tanai kafel, according to her mayor, and etc. All those tanayim that you need, if you're missing them, the halach is always, the tanai is batal, the ma'is is kaim. So too over here. You said you're giving matana to the isha, but tanai the husband's not zeicha. So if her mayor holds that isha kiyad baila is so strong that it's impossible for her to be zeicha without her husband being zeicha, so the din is, ma'is is kaim. So it becomes matana to isha. The tanai is batal. That means the ma'is is kaim even if he ends up being zeicha. And therefore we have no problem with him ending up being zeicha because there's no tanai anymore. The Rashba over there continues in Kedushin, and he brings a ravid to explain what is the machloikis, Remei and the Rabbanan. Like we said before, everyone agrees that the Baal is zeicha in the Yad Ha'isha. From Asiyadayim, from Atana, from Atziya. So what exactly is this machloikis if a tanai works or not? So he says, there's actually a chakira in the Achrenim, the Achayezer is ma'arech about this, but Kipshutai, the Ravid is learning, this is a machloikis tanayim. The machloikis is, how do we understand the din of Yad Ishak Yad Baila? On one hand, we could understand that it's a two-step process. She earns the money, she works, it's her money, and just like he has money and he gives it to her from his zaynus, it's his actual mezaynus, he planted it or he bought it, it's his, and he's giving her things that are his. So too, she's giving him things that are hers. She makes Ma'is Yadayim, she owns it, and the din of the Torah is that anything she makes goes to him. But it's a two-step process, just like obviously the things that he gives her are his and then they go to her. So too, she is making things. Now she doesn't have to give it to him. The Torah automatically gives it from her to him. But nonetheless, it's similar that it's a two-step process. It's her Ma'is Yadayim. She owns it and it goes from her to the husband. That's one way we can understand the din of Yad Ishak Yad Baila. But we can understand it on a higher level, which is Kipshutei how you learn by, let's say, Yad Evet Yad Rabbi. And that is that her yad is her husband's yad. Just like when his left hand is kind of something, so he himself is kind of it. So let's say, he would have a third hand. So obviously a person would have three hands, his third hand is zeicha in something. So that's also a way for him to be zeicha. If any of his hands picks up something, he's zeicha. So yad ishak yad baila means that there's another extension of the husband. The husband has his own yadayim. He also has yad ishak yad baila. It's another yad for the Baal. So anything she picks up, she finds him at sea in the street, she's picking it up as an extension of her husband. So he's zeichin it right away. So the Ravid says, this chakira is the machlekes Remeir and the Rabbanan. Remeir holds the Baal zeichin right away. So you can't go and give her a matana al minas that the husband shouldn't get it, because there's no separation. There's no time that she's zeicha to say, oh, she was zeicha, and I only gave it to her, I'm an ass, doesn't have rishus in it, therefore she could keep it. Because she doesn't have a yad. She's nothing more than an extension of the Baal's yad. Therefore, Remeir says, that tanai can't work. However, the Rabbanan hold that it's two steps. First she's zeicha in it, and usually, after she's zeicha in it, it goes from her to the husband. On that, the Ravid says, that the Rabbanan hold, since you made a tanai, that I'm only giving it to her, I'm an ass, that you don't give it to your husband. So it ended up by her. He gave it to her. And there's a tanai that it shouldn't go to the husband. So we have no problem saying, if I only gave it to you, but tanai that the husband shouldn't get it, it will stay by you. Her mayor holds there's no makom for such a tanai. It's impossible to make such a tanai because she never had it. There's no time that it was by her and not by him. The second she picks it up, he has it. So how can you say, I'm only giving it to her, I'm going to ask that her husband doesn't have it. There's no time that we could pinpoint to say that tanai was stopping the chain of events. There's no chain of events. The second she picks it up, he's kaina. So you can't say, I'm only giving it to you, I'm an ass, your husband doesn't have rishus, because the second you're saying that, it's already by the husband. That's how the Ravid explains the machlokes Remeir and the Rabban. Continuing on with the Gemara asks a kasha. We find in the sugi of Shita of Mevayis that the husband could be mezaka, the thing that's being used for the Erev or the Shita of his wife, and his wife is Zaycha, for the B'nai Mavui. The Gemara asks, V'i Amrit Kana, Yasein Ba'ayla, Erev Le'nafik Mershus Le'Dabal, if the halacha is Yad Ishak Yad Ba'ayla, and everything she picks up is still in the Rishus of the Baal. So when he gives it to her, for her to be Zaycha, for the Bnei Mavui, she's not Zaycha, because they never went out of the Baal's Rishus. On that, Rav answers, Afakav Amar Remeir Yad Isha Kiyad Baila, Moide Rav Meir Le'inyin Shituf, Tekivin De Lezakiz La'achirim Hu, Miyad Baila Zachya. That even though Rav Meir holds Yad Isha Kiyad Baila, and she cannot be Zaycha in anything without the Baal taking over the Bailas, but Shituf is different, Kivin De Lezakiz La'achirim Hu, Miyad Baila Zachya. So in the Gemara's Lashon, it's very not clear, because the Gemara sticks in two separate ideas. On one hand, they stick in that it's lezakis lacherim. That seems to be the determining factor. And also, the Gemara says, miyad bai lezachya. Sounds like the issue is that she's being zeicher from the Baal. In other words, the entire sugya till now is handling, someone else wants to give her a present, amanas, that the husband shouldn't have rishus. So that was the sugya. Yad ishi kiyad bai lo is so strong that so no one else can give a present to the wife. But over here, Miyad Baal Zachya, it's a different sugya because the Baal alone is giving it. But the Gemara also stresses that it's only Lezakis Lacherim. So is that a player or not? So it seems to be a Machlekes Rishayim. The Ran clearly says that the Iker point of the Gemara's Teretz is that even though Remeir holds Yad Ishi Yad Baila, but when the husband gives the Matana, the Gemara says in Bav Metzia, in Bav Basra actually, that when the husband gives the Matana to his wife, she's Zoycha, even though you hold Yad Ishi Yad Baila, and we never find anywhere that Remeir argues. The Gemara stresses, Kivin Lezakis Lachirimhu. Why is that an important player here? So the Ran says, the Gemara is just saying a side point. The Ran says, Afal Pisha Ein Nais Lamamish. The Gemara is bothered that Ein Achanami. It's established in Bava Basra that when the husband gives a present to his wife, she will be Zeichen it, even if you hold Yad Ishi Yad Baila, but maybe that's only when you actually give her the present to keep. But maybe when you're mezakeh to her for acherim and she's not actually keeping it, maybe we will have the rule of Yad Ishi Yad Baila and anything that she's kind of automatically the Baal has. So the Ran says the Gemara is about burning that issue. And the Gemara is saying that over here, Rav is being mechadish, that afal pish ein nesin l'mamash al zakes es acherim still my dezachya. That means the Gemara's main point is miyad baila zachya. Since it's coming from the husband, therefore, she could be Zeicha. And the Gemara is saying, even though, Kivin Lezakis Lachem doesn't mean that because she's being Mezaka Lachem, that's why she's Zeicha. Rather, Miyad Baal Lezakia is the Iker point of the Teretz. Even though Lezakis Lachem, even though she's being Mezaka Lachem, that's enough to have the rule that when the husband gives the Matana to his wife, he's out of the picture. That's how the Ran learns. So it's actually Shred the Lashon. The Lashon of Gemara, Kivin Lezakis Lachem, seems to be the reason that he could be Mezaka. Now, if you look at the Mefarish, he seems to learn that the main part of the Teretz, the main crux of the Teretz is Kivin de Lozakis Lachem Hu. The Mefarish says, when do we say that anything the Isha is Zeichin, Memela automatically the husband is Zeichin it? That's all when the Isha is coming to be Zeichin for herself. Anything she's trying to be Zeichin for herself automatically becomes under the jurisdiction of the Baal. But over here, that she's never being Zeichin for herself, she's only being Mezakel Acherim. So it's not so much under his jurisdiction. Anything she's doing for herself, you have Yad Ishi Yad Baila. But she's not acting for herself, then we're not going to say this rule that she's acting as an extension of the Baal, because she's not even acting for herself. Anytime she acts for herself, that's as if she's acting for the Baal. But over here, Kivin Lezakis Lachemu, so therefore she could be Zaycha. And the Mefarash actually ends off, Aval Ba'alma, Kigayin Diyav Ma'atana L'Ishta, Yeim Alach Yad Ishi Yad Baila. That this Gemara's Teretz of Rava might argue with the Gemara of Bava Basra. It might hold that according to Remeir, even if a husband gives a matana to his wife, the husband is Zeichenet. We had a Gemara of Bava Basra, Nathan Aleph, that when you give a matana to your wife, the husband is not Zeichenet. So the Ran himself said there's no real Gemara that Remeir agrees to that. It's just Lo Shaminu Le Remeir de Palik Baha. So the Ran learned that's Rava's Chiddush, that Remeir agrees that a matana to your wife will make that the husband's out of the picture. On that, the Mefarash is saying, that's not Rava's point. Could be when you give a matana to your wife, if it's for the wife to keep, then automatically, Yad Ishi Yad Baila. So a husband cannot give a matana to his wife. It would automatically go back to him. Because Remeir holds Yad Ishi Yad Baila, and Remeir holds there's no difference about a matana. The whole point of our sugya is, that in our sugya, he's not giving it to her for herself. He's giving it to her to Mizak al-Akhir. So according to the Mefarash, it's very good to lash on the Gemara, Kivin de Lazakis la-Akhirimu. Now the Gemara continues that Ravina asked, he has a braisa that an isha cannot be zeicha la'achirim. So Ravashi said, you're right. There's no rule that the isha could automatically be zeicha la'achirim. Rather, only if she's being zeicha nafshei. And we're talking about a case that she alone, yesh l'chotzer ba'isim avi, she has a chotzer here. So she's being zeicha for herself, the migla zeicha nafshei, zeicha la'achirim. So according to the Ran, it's very simple. The setup in the Gemara. The first step was that since she's being mezakel acherim, it's not a siba that she could be zeicha. Rather, it's a chiddush. Now, even though she's not being zeicha for herself, so you might not have the rule that when the husband gives the matana to his wife, she's zeicha and it does not go to the husband, because over here she's not being zeicha for herself. Rather, she's being zeicha for someone else. So if that's a chiddush, so now we could say the Rav Ashi is coming to a Numadrega, that really, if you're not being zeich for yourself, you cannot be zeich la'achira. Because you don't have the rule, that when a husband gives a matana to his wife, he's not automatically zeich. You don't have that rule when she's only being zeich for other people. On that, the Gemara's mechadish, that ain't a chanami. If she's only being zeich for other people, you don't have the rule. But when she is being zeich for herself, so now you do have the rule that husband that gives a matana to his wife, you don't say Yadishu Kiyad Vayela, and once she's being zeich for herself, she could even be zeich la'achrini. So like the Ran, it's very clear what the two steps in the Gemara are. First, the Gemara thought that the rule that you're giving a matana to your wife, you're out of the picture, applies even when it's not a matana, it's only to be mezakel la'achirim. On that, Rav Ashi says, not true. Only if you're being zeich for yourself, then it's mamash matana. If it's mamash matana, you're being zeich for yourself, so the Baal's out of the picture, and migu dezakel la'afshei, Zachi la'achrini. That's how the Ran would learn. Like the Mefarish, you have to say that Rav Ashi is coming up with a whole new idea. Rav Ashi is being mechadish, migu zach la'afsho, zach la'achrini, that when you mean zach for yourself, it's easy to be zach la'achrini, which is really like an opposite idea than the whole Gemara was going. The whole Gemara was saying, since you're being mezakel la'achrini and not to yourself, that's a reason to be zach. So Rav Ashi is being mechadish, at the end of the day, like the Ran's idea, that it's easier to be zakel acherim when you're being zakel nafshei. So Milo. In other words, like the Ran, the point of the Gemara the whole time was that the better it is for yourself, the more it is for yourself, the more we have this halacha, that a nice matan leishtoi, the Baal's out of the picture. So the Shaka Vatari is it called being zakel for yourself when you're really being zakel, you're picking it up, but you're picking it up for other people. So the first, the Gemara thought maybe that is enough to be considered a matana, similar to a matana. And later on, the Gemara is saying, no, migu d'zach l'nafsho, zach l'achrina, only if you're actually being zeich for yourself. According to the Mefarish, the Gemara is totally switching gears. In the beginning, the Gemara thought that if you're being zeich for yourself, it's not going to work. Only if you're only being zeich l'achrim and you're never being zeich for yourself, then the Baal's out of the picture. Rav Ashi Mefarish, so we say the opposite. If you're being zeich for yourself, now the Baal's more out of the picture. But if you're not being zeicha, then the Baal is more in the picture. The Ran would flow better in the Shak Mitarli Gemara that we're not totally switching our outlook on the entire sugya. The Farash is better in the Lashon, but the Ran would be better in the Shak Levitari. Now, Lahalacha, the Ran ends off the sugya. How do we pass in Halacha Lamaisa this Shiloh Yarishik Yad Baila? So he brings down three Shitas. Venu Amram Goin. And others, they pass in like Shmuel, because Halacha Kishmuel Bedini, and this is Chayshu Mishpat Shaila, this is Didi Mamas Dika Shaila. Therefore, we pass in like Shmuel. It's like, yeah, every Matana, every Metziah, every Matana they give out tonight, do we say Yad Yishik Yad Baila, do we say Yad Evet, Yad Rabbi? It's all Dimi. Then the Ram brings down Rabbeinu Tam, that we pass in like Rab, because it's Isser, the Ahochi Mishal. The Shaila Mishmedish, the Shaila now Mishnah is, how do you give a present to your daughter when you ask her Hana from your son-in-law? So that's a shayla of Nedarim. How do you go and give a present without being Levi and Neder? Since it's a shayla of Nedarim, it's Isser. And that was a Hachi Mishal. This was the shayla that was brought up in Beis Medrash. So even though it's totally in the shayla of Dini, but since the point of the shayla, the actual shayla was a shayla of Isser and Heter, therefore we're passing like Rav. So there's an interesting Birchas Avram in Kedushin of Chavdal of Gimel and Beis that he explains this machloikis. He says, Kipshute, you understand, Halacha Kishmuel Bedini is because Shmuel was better in Din than Rav. We know Shmuel, we pass like Shmuel Bedini, and like Rav Bisturi. So, Kipshute, you understand that Shmuel was better, he understood, he had a Milo in the Sugis of Dini, and Rav had a Milo in the Sugis of Isser. So, Fakti Birch Avram, what exactly is Rabbeinu Tam saying that the Shiloh was brought up Lagabi Isser? It was brought up Agabi Yisr. But since it has a nafkamina in the sugya of Dini, and in Dini Shmuel is better, so we should apply the rule that Halacha Kishmuel B'Dini. Maybe we should also have the Halacha of Halacha Kerabi Yisuri, but you should also have the Halacha of Halacha Kishmuel B'Dini. How can we ignore the Halacha, that Halacha Kishmuel B'Dini, because it was Nishol HaMismedrish Agabi Yisr? So Berachas Avraham says that Rabbeinu Tamma is told a tremendous chiddush. The din that we know, Halacha Shmuel B'dini and Halacha Rabbi Isuri, is not because Shmuel is better in din and Rabbi is better in Isur. Rather, it's a simon. If you want to remember what the Halacha is like, so it ends up Halacha Shmuel B'dini and Halacha Rabbi Isuri. In other words, the Rabbanan sat down, they went through all the Machalikas and Rabbi and Shmuel, and it came out without any reason that Rav happened to get it right every time they argued about Isser. Shmuel got the answer right every time they argued about Dini. And the rule for us to remember who we're passing like is Halacha Kishmuel B'Dini and Halacha Kerav Yisuri, not for any specific reason. It just ended up like that. So today we have a simon how to remember it. But let's say the Shiloh was brought up in this Medrash Legabe Isser. So this would be included in the simon that we have, this rule that we have, that halacha k'rav isturi, so this is included in that halacha, in that simon, in that halacha. Since there was ishul in the Beis Medrash, the Gabi Yisr, and the halacha is k'rav isturi, so this is included. Enechanahami, it has ramifications in the world of dini, and the halacha is like Shmuel B'dini. The answer is that halacha is only like Shmuel B'dini in regards to questions that were ishul adini, if that was what was brought up in Beis Medrash. So then we call it dini, l'gabi the simon. But Rabbeinu Amram, Goyin, the Berachas Avraham says, he seems to hold. We don't care why it was Nishul and Mismedrash, because he probably holds it's a Siba. The reason why we pass like Shmuel B'Dini is because Shmuel is better than Dini. So who cares why it's Nishul and Mismedrash? As long as it has Dine ramifications, the Halacha is going to be like Shmuel. So very interesting, Machlaikis, Rishayim, according to Berachas Avraham, and what exactly is this rule of Hilchasa Kishmuel B'Dini?
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.